our final storyteller of the night is Charles Ensminger. Charles is the pastor here at Kenneth A.D. Northern Light United Church. He's also a writer, teacher, and a person who loves stories and storytelling. This is his second time telling a story for us titled The Cabin Dog. Please welcome Charles.
When I was 11 years old, I lived in Tennessee with my parents. It wasn't just me. But when I was 11 years old, I was in Tennessee, and I was also part of a Boy Scout troop. There were about 10 of us in the Boy Scouts. We had two Scoutmasters. And one particular weekend, we went on a trip to a cabin in the woods. It had snowed, it was cold, it was beautiful, and it was to be an adventure. We were going to go stay in this cabin, and we were going to cook outside over a fire, and we were going to stay inside in this cabin. It had a great room where all 10 of us could sleep in our sleeping bags, and it had this great fireplace and open area, and a stereo, which is kind of odd, because now, in reflection, it might have been a house, not a cabin, but it's hard to tell. But it had a stereo. And we loved the stereo because we could turn it on and hear all the great 80s hits that were new at the time. We would hear things like The Cars. We would hear Duran Duran. And our Scoutmasters hated that. They liked Willie and Waylon. Nothing wrong with any of those. As we gathered at this cabin or house, whatever it was, we went outside to begin to cook dinner, and as we cooked dinner, this dog shows up that was somehow attached to this house. We weren't ever really clear on whose dog it was, but it seemed to be very familiar with the house, and we never learned its name. We called it Shep, which was odd because it was a lab, but we called it Shep, and Shep loved us, and we loved Shep, and we would slip him some of the leftovers, and he'd stay near us, and we just enjoyed being around him. And we all sat around this campfire outside, and we sat with the dog, and the night began to get a little darker and a little deeper. And our scoutmasters said, "We've got a great activity for you." And so they took us on what we would learn later is called a snipe hunt. Now, for those of you that don't know, first, there is a bird called a snipe. It's real. Most of them are in New Zealand. But a snipe hunt in the 80s was called fun. Now we'd call it hazing. But what a snipe hunt is, if you're unfamiliar with it, is the group is taken by someone they trust out into the woods where they are led around until they are lost. They are then given a bag, and the person who has gotten them lost then goes ahead and says, "We're going to flush the bird out towards you. You wait here." And so the 10 of us gathered around this bag, and our two scoutmasters ventured up ahead. And it got quiet. And we couldn't see them. We couldn't hear them. And hours passed. Maybe it's 15 minutes, but hours passed. And we began to worry. Had they left us? We thought we knew where they were, so we walked a little bit ahead, and they weren't there. Now, later we would learn they were actually not far away. They were keeping an eye on us, but we didn't know that. We didn't know where they were. We didn't know what to do or what we were supposed to do. So we decided, well, maybe we should try to find our way back to the cabin. So we started to retrace our steps. Trouble was, the circuitous route that our scoutmasters had taken us meant that they had actually deliberately walked us over the same path a few times, so that if we did try to follow our path back, we kept winding up more lost. And so we began to wonder, what do we do? Between the 10 of us, we had a flashlight. And we tried to find out which way to go, what to do. So we looked up at the stars to try to figure out our relative position, but we didn't actually know how to do that, so it didn't work. And as we stood alone, we thought, in the woods, we began to hear a rustling in the trees. And it was at that point that we began to realize that there might be other creatures out here that we are not prepared to meet. And we huddled closer, back to back, looking. What was the sound? And then out of the brush came this dog. It was Shep. Shep comes bounding out, and as soon as we recognize the dog, we are overjoyed to see this dog. We all get down on our knees, and we're all rubbing the dog's head. We're all wrestling with the dog. And then my friend Doug has a brilliant idea. He looks at the dog and says, "Go home." And the dog turns and starts to walk. And we fall in line behind this dog, trusting that home, whatever it meant to this dog, was going to be better for us than being out in the forest like this. And so the dog leads us straight back to the cabin. And when we arrive at the cabin, we find two things. First, the door was unlocked. In we go. And we bring our guest of honor in with us. We turn the lights on, and we realize, number two, we have beaten the Scoutmaster's back. So, in response to the recognition that we have achieved our goal, we've made it back to the cabin, we brought the dog in, we do two things. One, we lock all the doors and turn the stereo on. We have a great, great night. It is wonderful. It's loud. We're singing. The dog's on the furniture. We're on the furniture. Everybody's having a great time. And we hear a noise outside, and we start running from door to door, and we're yelling, "It's Don. It's Scotty. Ah, you guys can't get in. You can't get in. Ah, we've got a great. It's great. It's wonderful." But then we found out they had keys. And in they came. But for a moment, we knew we were not only the greatest group of scouts that there could be in the world, but we owed it, and we owed our thanks to a dog. Thank you.